Welcome to Energy Talks, a regular podcast series featuring expert discussions on power system testing, data management, cybersecurity, and important trends in the power industry. My name is Scott Williams from the podcast team at Omicron, and I will be your host. Hello, everyone. In this episode, we are diving into a technology that is quietly transforming our electricity networks, and this is the recloser. Originally developed as automated circuit breakers to quickly isolate temporary faults and restore power, reclosers are rapidly evolving into intelligent system components. As our grids decentralize and integrate more renewable energy resources, traditional protection schemes are falling short. Grids now require smarter, adaptive, and highly coordinated automation strategies to keep the lights on. To help us break down these complex communication-assisted systems and understand how utilities test and validate them under real-world conditions, I am joined by my guest, Alex Allman. He is an Omicron application engineer specializing in protection and recloser testing. He has extensive experience in commissioning protection systems across generation, transmission, and distribution grids. Alex is going to take us on a journey from basic grid hardware and global markets straight into complex system automation. He will break down how decentralized renewables are completely rewriting traditional protection rules, why dense networks demand a shift toward communication-assisted and automated coordination schemes, and how utilities can successfully transition from checking single devices to validating fully synchronized grid systems. So without further delay, hello, Alex, and welcome to Energy Talks.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here. Thank you for taking the time. Alex, for those of our listeners who are not directly involved with this topic, can you tell us in simple terms what a recloser is and why is it vital for modern power grids?
Yeah. So a recloser is basically a protection package that is installed outside the substation fence. So they come with a breaker and a control unit, and it's a way to separate our distribution system into segments, basically allowing us to isolate a faulted segment a little more strategically and provide the highest reliability for our customers on the distribution grid.
What types of reclosers are most commonly used in today's power grids?
So there are a few. The most common today would be the electrically actuated recloser. And that would come with basically a relay, and it is monitoring the signals that come from the recloser, so the voltage and current, and then that it would process it and trip and close as needed. There are some older ones, hydraulic reclosers that were developed in the 1940s. So that's really the first reclosers that we had. They're not super intelligent, but they're actuated by the fault current that goes through the actual mechanism. In the modern day, we don't install as many of those because they just don't have the capabilities, the smart capabilities that we would like, but they're definitely still on the system as legacy devices. Inside the recloser, there are several different versions. We have three-phase versions, which trip all three phases no matter what type of fault is on the system. There are also triple pole or triple single. It depends on how you might refer to those, but those trip the particular pole that the fault is on. So if it's a single-phase fault, it just trips that single phase. And then, of course, there are even some single-phase devices that are only connected to one phase that could trip that particular phase off.
What are the key regional markets for reclosers, and how do they differ in terms of deployment?
North America, by far, is the biggest area where we see reclosers being used, and mainly that's because the way the system is designed there, that is basically a Y system with a very low impedance ground or maybe no impedance ground. So when we have a fault, there's a lot of high fault current and the voltage collapse is significant on those phases. In that case, the system can become unstable pretty quickly, so we need to isolate the faults as fast as possible. In other areas of the world, such as Europe, they use compensated systems, so the fault doesn't create as much of a disturbance, and you can actually keep running a system with two phases online. However, when we start getting into DER, you know, a lot of solar and renewable sites, often they do use reclosers to connect those. So now we're seeing reclosers used in places where historically they weren't used as often.
You mentioned that distributed energy resources, or as you called it, DER, is driving recloser deployment. How are distributed energy resources and reclosers connected?
Yeah, great question. So distributed energy resources are often deployed on the distribution system. And because we already have the recloser package available to us, it's the same hardware and controller, we can use that to tap into the distribution network that's already existing. The DER site can then be attached behind the recloser, and we can use the recloser to connect it and disconnect it as needed to the grid. So this is basically becoming more common in even areas where reclosers weren't typically used.
You mentioned briefly what a recloser is. What is its primary function in power grids? Is it intended to shut down the system when a fault is detected?
Yeah, so a typical recloser application would be for typical distribution protection. So in that case, the individual recloser would have some tripping functionality. So if it sees a fault above a fault current level, it will trip. It will then, after some time, try to reclose. In the case of a temporary fault, it would reclose and stay closed, serving the customers. If it was permanent, it would trip a few times and then reclose. Eventually, it would reach a point where it's locked out and it stays open. At that point, we know it's a permanent fault, and a line crew has to go find it and fix the issue and then turn the system back on.
Okay, so when a recloser trips, is it preventing power from continuing into the system, or that a fault will pass down into the system?
Yes, it's preventing the fault current from disturbing the rest of the system. So we basically disconnected part of the system while leaving some other pieces of the system still online. We're keeping the most amount of customers on as possible while limiting the effect to the customers that stay online.
Okay, so if it closes down a particular part, is it the circuit that is closing down? Does it open functioning parts so that you can continue to provide service?
It really depends on the actual network, how the topography of the network is connected. But typically, it's just segmenting and isolating the piece of the system that is affected. So it breaks that section, opens that circuit while leaving the other pieces intact.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you for that clarification. Why do we need stricter regulations in the context of DER?
Okay, yeah, this is a very great topic. DER is basically another source of power, whether it's solar, it could be even small gas generators, wind turbines. Whenever we become a source of power, we have to abide by certain rules within the greater power system network. So we have to stay within the voltage boundaries, we have to stay in the frequency boundaries. If we get beyond that for some amount of time, the system can be unstable and we see larger power outages. The regulations there, of course, govern that particular system. It could be a nationwide regulation. It also depends on the utility. They may have their own regulations that tell us about how much power can the DER site deliver, how much can it import, and we need to disconnect based on those. There's also a few other things where we, so-called anti-islanding, we don't want the DER site typically to be the only source of power, and we want to disconnect if we see the overall grid become lost. Basically, it may not be fault condition, but it's very hazardous to the general public as a whole, and we need to separate for those conditions.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that. When we talk about system-level schemes, how complex does the distribution network become in practice?
Yeah, great question. Something we often don't think about is how complex the distribution grid is. Because we have such a sheer number of devices, because we have more customers, it's actually more complex than managing a typical transmission network. Typical schemes, such as TCC coordination, time over current coordination, worked pretty well for us in the past. However, as we add more customers and more devices, it becomes very hard or impossible. So we're coming up with newer schemes. You might hear the term distribution automation, FLISR schemes, which are being rolled out rapidly on our distribution system. There are even some proprietary schemes developed by the recloser controller manufacturers that are being deployed. Because the technology is getting more sophisticated, various utilities can create their own schemes. So really, the sky's the limit here. It is not one standard scheme, but there's a variation of many different types of schemes out there.
What role do reclosers and the recloser controllers play in these distribution automation schemes?
The recloser itself is the one that actually opens and segments the circuit. It's really not the one that's doing the intelligent operation. The recloser controller, however, is the one that's essentially the brain behind the system, or at least one device. It measures the voltage and current coming from the recloser, determining essentially when to trip or when to close. It may do the operation in a standalone manner. There are some schemes that do that. There are also schemes that operate in a more centralized manner where it takes multiple readings from multiple controllers and determines what to do.
Okay. What are the challenges when grids become even more densely automated?
Yeah, as the distribution grid gets more dense, typically add more reclosers into the distribution circuit. Because more reclosers exist, achieving the appropriate TCC coordination margin becomes extremely difficult or impossible. Additionally, adding tap points onto existing lines makes this coordination even more difficult. So I often see utilities don't really have the resources to keep up with this growth. And this is why we're seeing more use of non-traditional schemes. FLISR, of course, is one. And some utilities take advantage of centralized or distributed versions of FLISR schemes. A decentralized scheme is quite handy because the overall architecture is kept small and isolated, but there are definitely other schemes that perform coordination and restoration in an easily scalable manner.
Could you briefly explain what FLISR is and how it differs from other non-traditional schemes?
So FLISR stands for Fault Location, Isolation, and Service Restoration. There's really no one FLISR. It's basically how the utility designs it. There are centralized versions where there's one central controller that gathers a response from multiple devices and determines what to do in a more intelligent, centralized way. There's also decentralized versions of this where there's maybe like a small package of recloser controllers that are sort of doing a mini version of FLISR. But of course, it's kind of a broad term, so there's really no one way to describe FLISR, but that's in general the structure and purpose of a FLISR scheme.
We've talked about FLISR and other non-traditional schemes. Can you give us a real-world example of a proprietary scheme and walk us through how it works?
Of course. So going back to SEL's high-density coordination scheme, there's basically two varieties they have. One is voltage-guided reclosing, so there's no communications between devices in this case, but we basically make these sort of a package of reclosers. And in that package, we apply one TCC coordination to that. In typical distribution reclosing applications, that might look like an uncoordinated response. However, the ultimate result will be that it is coordinated. So basically, they all trip at the same time for the first fault. One recloser measures voltage, it closes back in. So long as there's not a fault there, it'll restore the next recloser, so on and so forth. And at the end, we'll isolate the device that actually has the fault. There's another version that has communications assisted tripping. So they may have the same TCC coordination in there, but now they can talk to peer devices. The upstream device can talk to the downstream device, so on and so forth. And when a fault happens, multiple devices see it. They send a signal back to the next device, say, hey, I also see the fault, so you can block. So it's a more intelligent, faster way to achieve the best isolation and selectivity.
How do you actually test and verify that reclosers behave correctly in these schemes?
Yeah, great question. This is actually a very overlooked item when various utilities are looking to implement these schemes. Of course, you can design it on paper, but to know if it'll actually work when necessary, it requires comprehensive testing, where it starts with the right combination of hardware and software. One, we need the correct hardware interface with the recloser controllers. The test device itself needs to be able to inject the appropriate voltages and currents for given system conditions. It also needs to respond to trip and close commands of the recloser controller. Essentially, that device, the test device, needs to mimic the operation of an actual recloser. We can use that to test a standalone operation of recloser controllers, but if we coordinate multiple devices, we can essentially test a system response. When it comes to testing, however, we need many test sets to work in a synchronized way to simulate the overall system. This will involve synchronized time sources such as GPS antenna, as well as software that can simulate the entire system in a realistic way for the various scenarios we want to test. Once we have that overall setup, we can begin testing our distribution scheme. And that would now cover both the device base as well as the system base. So not only are we verifying that a single device works, but also that the system as a whole responds correctly.
On the hardware side, what kind of tools do you use for testing reclosers?
Yeah, so at Omicron, we have the ARCA 400 test set. That's our specialized test set for recloser controllers. The test set itself is the one replicating the operation of the recloser. And we have various smart adapters that allow us to connect to the various recloser controllers on the market. Essentially, a smart adapter has a chip inside of the adapter. When we plug it into the ARCA automatically recognizes what type of adapter it is, what type of breaker it might be used, and how to replicate it as close as possible. So that's really the ideal solution for testing recloser controllers and schemes.
Smart recloser adapters sound like a very convenient solution, but do they come with any trade-offs when it comes to flexibility?
Smart adapters are really the ideal solution because it's a plug-and-play functionality. It's the most efficient form of testing. We just plug it into the ARCO, plug that into the controller, and we can pretty much start our testing immediately. However, because there are so many new reclosers introduced into the market all the time, you know, obviously it takes us time to develop a smart adapter. So we have this Bob 2 device, which is essentially a breakout box that gives us access to everything the ARCO can do in a banana cable format. So if we have a device that, you know, let's say we don't have an adapter for a Ricoh's or controller with a pinout that's very new, you can still test it. You just use the Bob 2 in a universal style of way.
So that covers the device testing, but how do you test the behavior of the entire system?
Yeah, this is a great question. So Omicron has a few testing solutions with the ARCO. One is ARCO Control. That tests the singular operation of a device. When we want to test this overall system response, that becomes our software relay sim test, where we can draw the entire network, or as large of a network as we'd like to test. And that simulates real-world conditions that would happen on the power grid itself. Then we can GPS synchronize several ARCOs. And when we test a scenario, every ARCO would simulate what each individual recloser would see at that given time for that given condition. So we could test those distribution automation schemes like FLISR or HCC, and we ensure that the scheme indeed operates correctly. And not only that, we can identify if there's logic and communications issues early on, instead of deploying them without, you know, some type of testing and making sure the scheme will work correctly. So you're verifying not just individual devices, but the correct behavior of the entire scheme.
How do you coordinate and control multiple test devices when testing a complete system with, for example, Omicron's relay sim test?
Yeah, so when we're testing multiple devices, it's critical that these devices are synchronized and they essentially output the correct waveforms at the same time. With relay sim test, there's a couple of different ways we can do that. There's a so-called local sync option. This is more so used in a lab environment when we have the Ricoh's or controllers all together in local proximity. In that mode, we can basically put the ARCOs into local sync mode and they can coordinate time between themselves. However, when we're deploying this in the field and the devices are separated by some physical distance, you know, mile or two, whatever it may be, we use a GPS antenna and we can do essentially a remote connection to each of these devices where one user can control every device from one central location. They run the test, they get a centralized feedback to one device. So it really is quite flexible for this. So whether you're testing in a lab, validating in a lab, or you're ready to test it at a deployed location, we can certainly do that as well.
Alex, how do you see the future of recloser testing?
Yeah, this is a great question. Certainly up to the individual answering the question. I would say it's much more likely that people are going to test them more and more. Right now, they don't fall into as strict regulation as our transmission system. Time will tell if they will eventually fall into the stricter regulation. But especially when it comes to schemes, very few people want to deploy a scheme without testing. So I think it's going to become more and more common that more and more people want to test these schemes.
And before we go, if there was one tip you could give to people who are considering recloser testing and all that's involved with it, what would you tell them?
Certainly. I would recommend do your research, figure out what you want to test, what's your goals in testing, and figure out what your ideal setup would be. You know, whether it's one test set or you're trying to test a scheme, really, what is it you're trying to get at so you can be more focused in your testing?
Very good. Well, Alex, thank you very much for joining me for this episode of Energy Talks.
Thanks, Scott. If you're interested in diving deeper, we also provide detailed application notes that cover testing of high-density coordination schemes using the ARCO 400 or flexible setups and solutions with the Bob 2.
Okay, and you can find those on the Omicron website, is that correct?
Yes.
Are there also any trainings offered by Omicron Academy or any videos on YouTube that have been done about the topic?
Absolutely. We offer regular training for the ARCO 400 a few times a year. Of course, we can do customized training if you already have some devices. There's also YouTube videos for this software as well.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Scott.
And a big thank you to our audience for listening to this and other episodes of Energy Talks. We always welcome your questions and feedback. Please send us an email to podcast@omicronenergy.com. Omicron has several years of experience in power system testing, data management, and cybersecurity, and offers a matching solution for your application. For more information, visit our website at omicronenergy.com. Please join us for the next episode of Energy Talks. Goodbye for now, everyone.